go. Good morning. This meeting is being recorded with the intent to distribute. Recorded meetings provide a valuable resource for Essanon members. By voluntarily sharing in this recorded meeting, members are providing expressed permission to Essanon International Family Groups to record and distribute this material. As such, it's important to keep the following meeting guidelines in mind when sharing. When sharing, please speak clearly into the microphone without touching the recording equipment. As soon as you decide you want to share, please come to the front and wait for the previous person to finish so there will be as little time lapse between shares as possible. To ensure this recorded meeting reflects the Essanon point of view, we ask that careful consideration is taken into account with the following guidelines. We do not mention or discuss specific titles and authors of publications other than Essanon, SA, Al-Anon, or AA conference-approved literature. We leave our other identities outside the discussion, other 12-step programs, issues, philosophies, religions, therapies, and occupations. We speak about and from the Essanon point of view. Please be aware that the recording of this International Convention breakout session will be distributed widely. If you wish to share at this meeting and would like to protect your anonymity, instead of stating your first name, you may say, "Name withhold," in the spirit of Tradition 12, or choose to share at a meeting that is not recorded. Will those who care to join in a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Hi, I'm Mary Kay from Fairfax, Virginia. I have chosen the reading of The Keys to Essanon Recovery.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jean Marie. Keys to Essanon Recovery. Over time, Essanon members learn to accept a number of new ideas. One, sexaholism is a disease very similar to alcoholism. At first, many of us could not accept this idea. For Essanon members, it means that we see sexaholics as sick people, not bad people. They are powerless over lust. Two, the actions of the sexaholic are not a result of something we did or did not do, and we do not have the power to control their behavior. Three, our attempts to control or ignore sexual addiction led to a decline in our emotional health and may have enabled the sexaholic to continue to practice his or her disease. Four, when we first come to Essanon, we too are spiritually and emotionally ill. As we work toward full acceptance of these ideas, we begin to see our problems in a new light, and the awareness dawns that we do have choices concerning our own actions. This is the beginning of our recovery. We remind ourselves that we are powerless over the behavior caused by sexaholism. We ask a higher power to help us to stop blaming and trying to control the sexaholic. The sobriety of the sexaholic is not our responsibility. We realize we cannot find serenity for ourselves if we continue to focus on someone else's recovery, so we commit ourselves to our own recovery. With the loving help of other Essanon members and the God of our understanding, we take positive action to make our lives more serene and fulfilling. We attend as many meetings as we can, get a sponsor if possible, and begin to apply the principles of the 12 steps to our lives. We use the telephone, the Essanon literature, and the Essanon slogans. Eventually, we reach out to help others and try to carry the message of our own recovery. We do these things in our own way, one day at a time, striving for progress, not perfection. This is what is meant by working the program.
Thank you. The topic for today in this meeting is Turn Life Over, and the referenced reading is from our book, Reflections of Hope, Daily Readings for Anyone Affected by Another Person's Sexual Behavior, which is an Essanon reflection book. We will be reading page 18, January 18th, The Road to Recovery. The longer I am in Essanon, the more I see how impatient I am. This character defect is evident, especially when I am driving. Recently, through prayer and meditation, I got the message to try driving in the right lane only. I decided to yield to higher power, thinking that I might learn something valuable for my recovery. So my driving slogan became, "Stay right with God." Driving in the right lane meant making changes. I slowed down and drove more consistently. I had to be patient with those who were not driving as fast as I thought they should be. This experience is helping me see just how much I want things my way. I am reminded of how I tried to control the sexaholic behavior over and over again. I would surrender control of the sexaholic to God, inevitably taking it back again as I grew impatient with the pace of the sexaholic's recovery. I wanted to go at my pace instead of his. I now see that the right lane symbolizes doing things God's way, and the left lane symbolizes doing things my way. Taking the third step every day reminds me that turning my life over to the care of God and letting go provide a smoother road to recovery. Faith in my higher power can keep me in the correct lane. Following higher power's will for me keeps me right with God. Further reflections. Simply having faith in a higher power is not enough. We have to surrender our will and our lives over and over again. From the Essanon 12 Steps. Hello, I'm still Mary Kay, and I'll share a little bit on this and then open the meeting up for sharing. I found this reading really great. I am definitely a left lane driver of great impatience. And I'm thinking, well, could I change my life and still drive in the left lane? Like, do I have, you know, I'm definitely, get there quickly. I recently had to use my daughter's sort of beat up, the beat up car we gave her to drive. And my husband always says, don't drive it over 60 miles per hour. I'm like, what? How am I going to get anywhere? So I'm hoping that I don't have to change my driving if I change my life. So anyway, I was thinking about this, and I really like the metaphor of the driving because I think it's something that we all can relate to as being impatient. I used to be a driver who was like, "What are you doing? You know, why are you cutting me off? Don't you know what you're doing?" And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, obviously, that person's turn signals are broken. So I think in my life, too, I need to sort of reflect that same attitude. Obviously, that person has something in their life that is broken. So I am taking some inspiration from this. So I have a couple different things I touched on. I did some reading in some of our books and just pulled out a couple things that touched a nerve or resonated with me. One of them has to do with the hurt and the betrayal and the all the things I've gone through as I found out about my husband's sexual addiction and what happened and how it affected me. I was real good on that. I can't control it because I didn't cause it. And I didn't necessarily try to control it, but I tried to control everything else. I did try to control him. Hey, your disease is yours, but I'm going to control you. And if I wasn't controlling him, what did that mean about the pain that I had gone through and that was still left over? And I realized that I can feel and acknowledge the pain without having to control it. I can acknowledge that I've been hurt. I can acknowledge it was something was a bad situation. And then I can turn over that pain and ask my higher power for help to heal me and to also help me make better choices with the feelings that come up, with the things that I do, with the situations in my life. And that's a place where I'm trying to look to, the future. What are my future choices? How am I going to handle the pain? And then this is sort of the big thing that I try to do. I really have a lot of really great ideas, and they're usually right in my mind. And that leads me to frequently having a running commentary about everybody else. And I do like to be in control. And so I find that sometimes my serenity is rocked. And I have to look at it and say, okay, I go backwards. What rocked my serenity? Why am I feeling a little off kilter right now? And I find that thing, that statement, that whatever happened recently that did it. And I have to ask myself, and this is my control thing, is it my responsibility? I'm going to tell you most of the time it's not. Very seldom is it my responsibility. Is there anything I need to do when you have small children, I was in recovery with small children. Sometimes, yeah, there is. But aside from that, their needs, what do I need to do about a particular situation, person, or thing that's come along? Or is there anything I can do, which is different from need to do? And frequently, the answer is, nope, not my responsibility. Nope, nothing I can do. Nothing I really need to do either. So then I'm still left with the thing, whatever the thing is. And that's when I have to surrender it again. And this is where that great slogan, let go and let God, comes in for me. So then I have to say, I'm going to let God what? I'm going to let God handle it. Because God can take the responsibility. God can heal it. God can do it. You know, it's not mine. It's not mine. I am not God. I'm not my God, and I'm not anybody else's God. I have a higher power. It's not me. And that's what I have to keep remembering. When I have come to that, easy to say that, oh, I get that I'm not higher power, but do I really believe that when something's sitting in front of me that I need to let go of? And this brings me to the word surrender. I've always found that, you know, if I surrender something, I'm losing it. Surrender is losing. And yeah, I understand intellectually that losing a bad thing is a good thing. You know, if I'm losing my control fault, that's a good thing. But that's really hard to take inside. And so sometimes I look at the word surrender, and I like the title of this talk as Turn Life Over. That works a little better for me sometimes when I'm stubbornly holding on to something that I don't want to surrender, whether it's my life, whether it's a fault, whether it's my sexaholic, whether it's one of my adult children. I don't want to turn them over. I don't want to surrender them. I can't surrender. Surrender is losing in my mind. But turning over is easier for me to wrap my mind around. So that's where I put the word surrender and turn life over. And I like the title that they used that. This is what I'm going to close with. This is one of my very favorite readings that touches along this same line. This is from the AA Big Book. It is also found in our green book, Working the Essanon Program, on page 56. From the AA Big Book, page 417, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my powerlessness over sexaholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. That's a very big key for me, is that acceptance. This is what is supposed to be today. And then what am I going to do with it? How do I turn it over? And how do I give it back to my higher power to take care of? I'm going to close my thoughts there and open the meeting for sharing. Please remember that this is a recorded meeting. Essanon distributes member recordings to carry the message in the spirit of Step 12. Members share from their own experience and do not represent Essanon as a whole. We encourage listeners to take what you like and leave the rest. Because our common welfare comes first, here are the guidelines for sharing during our meeting. Please come to the front of the room if you would like to share. Please remember there is no crosstalk. That is, we share with the group as a whole, rather than addressing comments or questions to individual members. We limit the length of our sharing so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. Our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves, not the sexaholic. And the meeting is now open for sharing. You'll have to come to this chair so the microphone will pick you up.
My name's Julie. Hello, family.
Hello, Julie.
And I love the acceptance reading. My sponsor at one point in my earlier recovery required me to read it every morning, and I called her every morning at 5:15. And we went over what I needed to accept that day, and it was wonderful. A little bit later in there, and I'm paraphrasing it, It talks about if I am criticizing how something is, I am criticizing God and telling him he's doing something wrong. That is not my place. But remembering that is very important for me. When I start feeling crazy, I know I need to look at two columns, things I can change and things I can't. And that's in our Serenity Prayer. And I need to figure out which column it goes into. And 99.5% of things go into the thing where I can't control. But I can pray about the situation and wish for the best for everyone involved. I'm not going to tell God what I want the result to be. I'm done with that because I never have the right answer. And the things I can change in me, that's still trial and error. I won't always get it right the first time, but we practice this program. We don't get it perfect. We practice these principles. And I keep reminding myself that. And sponsors have said it to me, and I say it to sponsees. And when I hear myself say it, it's always a reminder for myself, too. Sponsees help me more than I ever helped them. A practical example, I have a very large family, and holiday meals can be insane, and usually there's two or three different tables set up in different rooms, and people are, where are you going to sit? Where are you going to sit? I don't want to sit with them. I don't. And so my recovery action here is I just go to a bedroom and close the door. I go to another floor of the home, wherever it is. And then once everybody else has found where they're sitting, I come back up and I take the last spot, which is I figure where higher power says I need to be. And it saves me so much of that crazy making because I don't need to be around it. And I certainly don't want to participate in it anymore. So that's a practical application for me. And I am powerless over nearly everything except for my attitudes and my actions. And one of my visuals here is, you know, being able to classify I can change or control this or I can't is if I need duct tape on another person to make it happen, I can't control it. If I'm starting to think about the duct tape and bringing that out and taping their mouth shut or you know, taping them to a chair. So that duct tape example is a helpful, the image for me is helpful because I need the visual. So thank you for listening, and I'll end my share now.
Hi, I'm Adrian. For me, you know, I've said this, my husband passed away, so I don't have him to take out my my lack of focus on my recovery or what's going on with me anymore. So I live with my sister, and I find some of the same things, even though I've gone through my steps and I feel light years ahead of where I used to be. But it doesn't stop me from looking at the relationship I have with my sister. And I find myself, she's like an opposite on the political pole from me. And I find myself thinking to myself, well, you know, and saying sort of sarcastic things like, well, have you read your history? Do you know about the Constitution? Have you read about this and the wars? And there's nothing I can ever say to her to change her. And it's like I am powerless, and I work on surrendering and just realizing, you know, okay, you know, why is this so important to me? Well, you know, and then I get onto that fence of, well, it is important to me, you know, and I'm probably, you know, I'm of course sure I'm right, but you know, it's the mind talk, but working on just relaxing into it and turning it over to God. And yes, that acceptance prayer is really, really good. And of course, I want to put it in front of her so that she can read it. But, you know, it's all part of the trying to fix her and reminding myself, stay on my side of the street and surrender, turn it over. And I like that turning it over as opposed to, that's a good good way to look at it rather than I'm a loser or I didn't win my argument. So, all right, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Jean Marie. I heard the question, what rocked my serenity? And recently, my family was visiting, and my daughter was there with her two-year-old. And I had been working really hard to get meals done, keep the house in order, babysit when they needed to. I really thought I was being a model mom, and my daughter came downstairs one morning and told me that she doesn't feel safe in my house and that it's not a safe place for her and her child. And I was so shocked and so upset. And when you talk about surrender, the one thing I don't want to lose is my daughter. So for her to say this to me was just crushing. And she was right in a way, because she explained that I wasn't meeting her where she was. And in fact, I had been thinking to myself that there was a problem with the way that she was raising my grandson. And it had been very loud inside my head, but I, of course, didn't say anything to her, but she heard it anyway. So I have to turn that relationship over. I have to surrender my daughter to her higher power, and then I have to work on not being critical, even in my mind, to have loving thoughts. So thanks very much.
Thank you for sharing.
Hello. My name's Diane. Hi, everyone. I'm going to go back to at the very beginning. We're on the highway, trying to stay in the right-hand lane, and that's where my thoughts went to, and my higher power had some thoughts for me about that. Because I'm guilty when I am behind the wheel of, you know, I'm in charge, of course. And sometimes that can be my life, where I'm in charge. And sometimes I allow my higher power control. But I'm learning to surrender more of my life. But the car's a good analogy for me, because I'm guilty of multitasking, for one thing. I'm guilty of that. And I have talked to many spiritual directors about this. Yet my behavior sometimes changes, sometimes not. And once when I had shared with a spiritual director, he said, you know, when I mentioned about multitasking, he said, well, that's a nice way of putting it. You know, he's kind of blunt, like, yeah, I'm behind the wheel 1,000 pounds. of metal, and I'm not considering other people's lives, my life. So, but that's I'm guilty of just minimizing what I do. You know, I can do things that impact others, and it may be, you know, character defects, but, you know, I'll minimize it, which isn't honesty. And this program is one of being honest and bringing my higher power into those character defects, those times on the road where I'm more present of God and in my life. And, you know, when it happens, I'm at a red light praying, or emergency vehicle goes by, you know, praying for that person. So this program is one that has helped me so much, of just turning over the wheel of my life and those little details to my higher power. It starts with those little things that I want to play God, you know, and I want to direct, because I know what's best. I know what's best for everybody. And, you know, today, put me in the back seat. Remember, mind your own business. Boundaries? I mean, I never used that word before. That's an important word today. Setting boundaries and knowing where my place is and when I have stepped over and dipping into someone else's life, and it's time to make an amends about that. So this program just has really helped me just to grow up, to be an adult and not behave as a child or someone whose life is centered around themselves, where they are in the fast lane, calling the shots. You know, more. I think I'll probably spend the rest of my life remembering where I need to be in the back seat. Not calling the shots anymore, not playing God, and to mind my own business. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Lynn. I've found in the period that I've been in the program that I've had to surrender a lot over and over and over again until I got it. And recently, we have one child, and he made a decision to cut us out of his life. And it was one of those things that was so hard to surrender. Just absolutely so hard to surrender. He is so angry over living in this addiction all of his life. And he's taken that, and anything recognizes, anything you do that's not satisfying to him, he's angry. So when he made this decision and he said, I don't want to talk to you until somebody dies, I have to say, I cried a lot. It was really painful. And I had to pray, and I had to surrender over and over and over again. I still feel emotional about it. But I also have to recognize he has his own journey. He has his own God. And I have to let him have that, regardless of how it may feel to me. I have to let it go, because if I don't, I will live in regret, and I will live in condemnation of the chaos in our lives. And I can't do that anymore. I've done that long enough in my life. So these meetings, really, every day that you go to a meeting for me is a place of healing, because I can work in a solution. I don't have to be in the problem that I was in for so many years. I still have different situations today than I had in the beginning, but I still have to surrender every single day, because if not, that old behavior that I know much better than my recovery period will come back in. So that's why I keep coming back, and I come to retreats, I come to conventions, and I go to meetings. So thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
And grateful Essanon. And I love this topic of turning my life over. And sort of this idea to think a little bit on what is my responsibility and where is my willingness. Every day I have to start out with going to my higher power and asking for an increase in my willingness to be led and not to just march forward and to heck with, you know, the wreckage in my path. And I'm grateful for this program that that, like was said already, lets me live in the solution, not the problem, in all areas of my life. I love that we read the acceptance prayer. That is really a game changer for me. From the first time that I heard that, I had no idea the issues that I had around acceptance of others, but also of myself. And this program helped me to look at myself and my role in order to help me move forward in the other relationships in my life. One of the things that I do that really helps me a lot, because I'm somebody who I have to have lined Post-it notes in my house. You know, I love to make lists, and I had somebody share with me that, you know, that's fine, make your list, but you need to write at the top, "Thy will, not mine," and recognize that it's my list, not my higher power's list. And I love that little reminder there, because I find that my higher power is much more gentle with me than I am. My higher power adds things to my list, like take a nap, or that's okay that you made that mistake. You can apologize, or there's pathways forward. It's not just productivity. But a couple things that I've learned that have really helped me with turning my life over is, and these sort of came to mind, is this prayer and this idea of putting me in the back seat. Like, I don't need to be in the front driving all the time. I love that. A prayer I heard was, please put one hand on my shoulder and one hand over my mouth. And I need that a lot when I'm walking in, because I just do stream of consciousness. And that can get me into trouble. But I will say the hope is that with recovery, I'm not just, I had a sponsor that used to call it the square tongue club when I first came in, because yeah, I wasn't saying all those things that were going through my head anymore. I was biting my tongue, but my body language and everything was still saying what I was thinking, all that stuff taking real estate in my brain, about others and not letting go. But I don't have to be part of that square tongue club anymore. I'm not just acting kind. My higher power is helping me become kind, a kind person. So I'm not just having to act as if, which is a good place to start, but I can be changed. And I'm just grateful for everybody that's been sharing here today. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to share or anybody that wants to go again? Thank you. This is an anonymous program. We ask all members to respect our anonymity. The stories you hear are told in confidence and should not be repeated outside the meeting, including to spouses or family members. They are told so we might better understand this program and ourselves, and to give encouragement and help to the newcomer, so we may keep what we have been given. We'll close with the serenity, with the serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I cannot, and wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Work it. Work it.
Thank you. 40.
And it's just.
It was this February.
Oh my gosh. And
because we didn't do something that he thought we should have. And. But he's been like that for other people.
Yeah, my dad, but was him.
Sam, it's my son.
And I don't know what it was. It's something in this. There is some emotional and mental deficit in his family. And everybody, I mean, he did it to me when I was second child. I came to visit him back. He ran out the door early in the morning, never was done, not going. So he wouldn't have to see the baby. That's when he saw that baby. He couldn't have known himself. He'd be all over the baby in it.
He didn't want that.
I went to a family wedding. My cousin knew what was going on. She called me up. She was doing a sit with the parents. So she put me with some cousins. So, of course, my sister comes over and gets my baby. Took the baby over to the table. Oh, since my baby shows up, he's all over the baby. My sister's
no. Not yet.
Oh,
you can't do anything about it.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as it ended, I wrote, what happened is, 9/11 happened. And I live in Washington, D.C. area.
Oh, so is my husband.
Yeah.
9/11.
And I said, you know, my husband goes to government building sometime, you know, not the background, but we could have been driving along the road and had that plane laying on our legs, you know, et cetera. And I said, life is just too dangerous. So I started praying on how does it go? It's a proverb. It's an abundance of love covers all insult and covers all pain. I asked for that. And then I finally read to him. Mom said, well, you read the letter, but he said, no. He said, well, so about a week or so later, she goes, I'm marrying a family when I come visit. He's like, okay. She would like to stay here in a house. He's like, that's fine. And that was it.
There's no explanation.
No discussion.
No
nothing.
And nothing that I know precipitated it. It was something in his head, but it wasn't what a normal person would think.
Right.
You know, I'm sure we said something in a conversation that was innocuous, but we took the wrong way. And it was so funny, because we've been saying it to different relatives, because they knew the story. Me and my kids.
Yeah.
So, he showed up, he's like, so I don't know, I'm just going to hope that something like that happens
well,
for you too.
My son, we were here 32 years, he lived in the chaos of addiction, and we didn't get it until we were married 32 years, we've been together 45 now, but it's all that stuff, that for all the therapies he's done, it's just not where he is.
Is he ever leaving?
No, my son is not married. He's lived with a couple of people. Well, one person. He went from zero dating to living with somebody. And that's what I thought.
Okay.
I've never said anything. I've never chastised, told him he's wrong. I don't. It's not me. I'm not the person I was before I got Mom's. It took me about 4 years.
You don't have to surrender because that's losing it, right? I just, that occurred to me last night when I was reading through my notes. And I was like, I'm not afraid of the word surrender, especially to God. But I also think there is a connotation to it sometimes that is, I'm losing. And like I said, it's a path that I'm happy with. But if I'm surrendering my son, I'm losing it.
No, I'm not.
But that whole idea of turning
it over
instead. Giving to God, what is God's responsibility? That, I was like, well, I like that a lot better.
Well, that is much better.
You know, it's easier to, it's a semantics thing, but a lot of things are. A lot of things are just worded. You know?
At some point, he will, but I should say to my husband, if I die,